Bibles open this morning to John's Gospel and chapter number 19. John's Gospel and chapter number 19 this morning. I'll take a text there, and as they say a great deal in the ministry, I'll take a text and depart from it. Amen. But that's where I do want to draw our thought from this morning. I'll use a great deal of the scriptures, but I think I've got John chapter 19 in my Bible here. It is a King James Bible, by the way, and I don't use the NIV or the RSV or any other V's. I just use the King James Bible, and I believe it to be the Word of God. Somebody said, "How do you believe that?" Same reason. Same way I believe everything else, by faith. Amen. The just shall live by faith. John chapter number 19, and one verse of scripture, verse number 25. And the Bible says there, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene." Now let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the songs that our hearts have enjoyed this morning. And Lord, how they've stirred me, realizing once again that I'm just a sinner, but I'm saved by the grace of God, birthed into your family, standing in the favor and grace of our God. I do pray that you'll bless the preacher this morning as I make an honest effort, the best I can, to preach this word, the thought that you've laid upon my heart in a way that it'll be a blessing to your people, strengthening their lives. I do ask you, Lord, to use it to convict sinners. They may see themselves lost and undone without God and without hope. They've heard the word of God, and Lord, there's no reason why they cannot be saved. If that word has been planted, they've heard it. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Bless now with liberty. I do pray for power and unction. I ask you to help those that are away from us today, those that are sick, those that we're praying for. Bless our nation and our troops this morning, Lord, that are away from their families, and especially those on foreign soil on this Christmas day. Bless them, I pray. Give them great comfort of heart. Bless the church and their needs that they have. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to read a portion of that verse one more time to give you the thought that I'm preaching on this morning. The Bible said in verse 25, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus," these next two words amaze me, "his mother." There stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. I want to preach this morning, if God will help me, and I'll try not to be long, probably won't be, but I want to preach for a little while on the thought, the pain of heartache. The pain of heartache. The Lord has allowed me to live now for 65 years, and I'm sure that like many of you that are here today, and even those that may be listening by the way of radio, that we've been so blessed with many and so many wonderful things and so many precious people. But along the journey, there's also been many heartaches. Some of those heartaches, I hate to say, have been much, much greater than others. There's different levels of pain that can enter the heart of a man or a woman. And there's little things that cause pain, and then there's things that cause great pain. And I'm sure that as Mary stood by the cross of the Lord Jesus, her firstborn son, and as he gave his life, blood, and died there, that her heart was overwhelmed with pain. There's no doubt about it. You know, and on this Christmas morning, as we celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus, I couldn't help but think of Mary as she stood by the cross of her darling son. and helplessly watched as his life was very slowly drawn from him and drawn away. She watched as every struggling breath brought him closer to death. And I'm sure as she watched that her heart was full of great pain and great sorrow and great heartache. I think I can confidently say that her thoughts were not on those that were around her. The Bible said there were others there. Mary, the mother of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene was there. We know that John was there. But I think that I can confidently say that her mind was not upon those that stood by her side, but on the man who hanged there on the cross. It's where her thoughts and her mind was focused. She watched him in suffering and in shame, shedding his blood and laying down his life for a world of sinners, just like you and I. Sinners that were undeserving of what he was doing. And it amazes me how that the great Creator laid aside the glories of heaven and came into this world, born in a manger from the womb of a virgin, that he might deliver you and I from our sins. He became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And I'm sure as Mary stood there and watched her firstborn son give his life and lay it down, that many memories passed through her mind. Memories of his birth, memories of his childhood, memories of the times that they spent together at home, memories of the meals she served and the times that she comforted and consoled him in her own bosom. These things begin to pass through her mind. And memories of 33 and a third years, really. 30 years at home and 3 1/3 years out on his own. She flowed through her mind. And I'm sure that the pain and the heartache, watching the wonderful works that he did, did harm or hurt to no one, but he came in this world to help, to be a blessing, to deliver man's soul from the depths of sin, from the power of Satan, and from the power of darkness, and translate us into the kingdom of his dear son. And I'm sure as she stood there and watched her son die, the memories of those 30 years at home, those 3 1/2 or those 3 1/3 years, we say, out on his own, began to flow through her mind as she stood there and watched. And as she compared the thoughts of yesterday to what's going on today, it had to cause great pain and great sorrow and heartache to enter into her life. I'm sure that her mind wandered back to that wonderful day when an angel by the name of Gabriel, an archangel, came to announce the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he explained to her how that there would be a miraculous conception and she would conceive a child that should be called the Son of God. In fact, the Bible said in Luke 1:35, when Gabriel speaks to her, she wonders in her mind what kind of a salutation this should be. And he explains to her how that she's been highly favored of God. And she's a chosen vessel to be used of the Lord. And then he explains to her that she's going to give birth to a child. And the question is asked, how can these things be, seeing I know not a man? Boy, I'll tell you, that's a wonderful thought. That here is a young woman, doesn't give her age, said a young woman who was a virgin in Israel. And yet she is a young woman and yet she's still a virgin. And she wonders in her mind, how can these things be, seeing that I have never seen a man or known a man? And Gabriel says in verse 35 in Luke 1, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Wherefore that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And as she stood there and watched her boy die on that cross, there's no doubt that her mind went back to that day when Gabriel told her that you're going to conceive a child by the power of God and by being overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. And that holy thing that is conceived within your womb shall be called the Son of God. And she knew who Christ was, and I'll get to that in a moment. But at the same time, her knowing that He was God in flesh, and yet that He was hanging there in pain and agony, He was still her son, her darling son, her firstborn son. And that brought pain and heartache into the heart of Mary. And the Bible even goes on to say that, wherefore the Holy Ghost that is shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And in verse 32 it says, and he shall be great and be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there shall be no end. Can you imagine her standing watching the last breath that he draws being exhaled from his body and it slumbers down into death? And her mind goes back to that day when that angel said that he's going to sit on the throne of his father David. Amen. And that his kingdom there shall be no end. And there's no doubt, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there's no doubt she knows who Christ, that boy of hers, is. But I'm sure that she never realized the pain that he would have to go through in his own person to bring salvation into the reach of every man, woman, boy, and girl that's ever been born upon the earth. And I'll guarantee you it hurt for her to stand there and watch that boy die. I thought about mamas today that have stood in hospital rooms or in bedrooms of their home, and they've stood there over one of their children and they've had to watch that child as it took its last breath and died and gave way to death. I saw a little article yesterday and my mind wondered about it greatly. It showed a little boy, just a small 6-year-old boy that was born with a blood disease. He'd been through so many surgeries because of it. He had brain cancer. And his mama and the little boy told the doctor, I don't want no more surgeries. And you know, it showed a picture of him and he was just laughing and seemed like he was having such a wonderful time. But it showed the picture of that mama as she sat on a sofa and talked about the day she gave birth to that little boy. And about how she had watched him go through that series of operations on that brain. He had no hair from the chemo, but yet he had a smile on his face. But mama didn't have a smile. Mama's eyes were filled with tears and they didn't just kind of run down her cheeks. They were literally running off of her chin. And there's no doubt that her heart was breaking. That little boy laughing and her crying. Her knowing that he's getting ready to die and go out into eternity. Now, I couldn't help but to think of Mary. The boy on the cross realizes that he is dying and death is soon to come. But he also knows that he's after 3 days after death, that he's going to get up out of that grave, victorious over death, hell, and that grave. But it does not remove the heartache and the pain from Mary's heart as she watches her own, that boy suffer and die such a cruel death upon the cross for sinners like you and I, that who ourselves ought to be in hell, but he is there taking our death and our hell upon himself, that you and I may enjoy the spiritual freedom and liberty that we do as a child of God And yet her heart is breaking for that boy. I can't imagine the heartache that Mary went through on that day, but I'll guarantee it was there. There's no doubt about it. It was there. And then, you know, I thought about that, not only the conception, but I thought about a cousin. I thought about a cousin. Mary had a cousin by the name of Elizabeth that had conceived a child in her old age by the name of John. And the Bible says in verse 26, and in the sixth month, that is when Gabriel came to Mary, it was in the sixth month. And you know, I looked that thing up, and it's not talking about the sixth month on the Jewish calendar. But it's talking about the sixth month of the birth of John the Baptist. Or from the conception, rather, of John the Baptist. He was conceived, and in the sixth month, in that sixth month of the conception of John the Baptist, Mary is standing there thinking about that boy. That's when the Holy Ghost came to her, and she conceived in her womb the Son of God. But the Bible said that Mary makes a trip to the hills of Judea, to a city, by the way, called Judah, J-U-D-A, in the hills of Judea, to visit her cousin Elizabeth. The Bible said that when she spoke to Elizabeth, and I read this to you, the Bible said it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I know the Bible said that the baby leaped in her womb, but I'm going to tell you what I called that John's jump. Amen. He got a jump start. God already called him into a ministry. Amen. A lot of people didn't know anything about it. Zacharias knew about it, and Elizabeth knew about it. A lot of other people didn't know about it. But that boy in that womb must have knew about it, because when he heard the salutation of Mary, who was expecting the Lord Jesus, the Bible said that he leaped in his mother's womb. Hey, and get this, that John's leap filled Mary, Elizabeth, with the Holy Ghost. Now, don't tell me people couldn't be filled with the Holy Ghost before the day of Pentecost. I don't believe a stinking word of it. Mary was filled. Hey, I call that John's jump. You talking about a jump start? Hey, if the voice of the mother of the Son of God caused him to leap in his mother's womb, can you imagine how his heart felt and what he experienced the day that Jesus was born into this world, and he got word about it that he had a cousin by the name of Jesus that was born into this world that should be called the Son of the Highest and should rule over the world on David's throne forever and ever and should be the Savior of the souls of all men. Brother, you talking about old John getting a jump start. He got a jump start. Then I thought about John's joy. The Bible said, for lo, for as soon as the voice, this is Elizabeth talking, of the salutation sounded in mine ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. Now I want you to listen to this very carefully. Let the memory go back again. She's standing at the cross. And the memory goes back. And she remembers that day when she spoke to Elizabeth. And as she spoke to Elizabeth, no doubt Elizabeth looked in a few minutes and said, hey, when you said what you did, this baby I'm carrying leaped in my womb. And here, hey, here stands two women who are cousins, face to face. One of them carrying the forerunner of Christ. The other one has in her womb Christ himself. And when she speaks, Elizabeth, the baby she's carrying, that forerunner, leaps in her womb. And the Bible said there that he leaped in her womb. Hey, and said, leaped in her womb. And there was great joy. But here stands Mary now looking at that boy that brought such joy to John, and she's watching him die upon the tree. And her mind goes back to the hill country of Judea. when she first spoke to her cousin Elizabeth. And I want to say, hey, can I say to you, I really believe they had a camp meeting on the hills of Judea. That's right. When Mary spoke and John leaped and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, honey, something had to go down. Something had to take place. And I know it did because we follow that is the magnificent, that is the praise of Mary for realizing, hey, what and who she was carrying inside of her womb. And by the way, she spends 3 months up there. There's a possibility she was there when John was born. Now, I don't know that she was, but I know she spent 3 months there before she ever come back to her town, to her family. Now, if you can get a hold of this, I don't know too many women 3 months pregnant that you can't tell they're pregnant. When she came back, somebody said, hey, look at Mary. She is expecting. She is with child. They noticed that. She had Jesus inside of her. Now, I want to tell you something this morning or this afternoon, whatever you want to take it. But friend, if you've got Jesus inside of you, hey, somebody going to take notice that He's living there. Brother, He can't live in you and He can't live in me without somebody realizing that we're showing just a little bit. Amen. Now you can say amen or oh me. Thank God we don't have to sound a trumpet. Mary didn't sound no trumpet. The fact she was 3 months pregnant showed it. That's exactly right. Now, that's right. Now speaking of the ministry of old John, the Bible said in verse 17 of that chapter, and he shall go before him, that is Jesus, in the spirit and the power of Elias. Now I'm getting to the heartache in just a minute. Now the spirit and the power of Elias. Get this, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. That amazes me. John is going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. You would think that he needs to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers, but that's not what the Bible says. If I understand that correctly, there must have been a problem with the daddies back in those days. That the daddies just wasn't right with their children. Their heart wasn't right with their own children. Now, I'm going to tell you, if we're not living in that hour today, friend, I've never been in such a day and hour in my life. I'm 65 years old, but I've never seen such a day in my life when parents, hey, when their hearts are so hardened toward the offspring that they brought into this world, whether it be a man or a woman. I'm telling you, men and women taking the lives of their own children, buddy, they got problems. Men and women that care not for their own children. They got problems. But John was a forerunner and he came to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. But I'm going to tell you, here's the part of it I like. And to make ready a people, and the disobedient, now get this, the disobedient of the wisdom to the just. The disobedient, not obedience. The disobedient of the wisdom to the just. That's an amazing statement. I don't know if I can explain that or not. But I can see it like this, that all sinners are disobedient. But God's able to take that the disobedient ones and make them very wise. And not only make them wise, but justify them. That was John's call. I would say, hey, I'm glad I can say this morning that I'm justified. Oh, if I could sing that song, Justified, I'd sing it for you. Thank God, I'm telling you. I stand before you this morning, and if you've ever been to Calvary and been saved by the grace of God, you stand there justified. Amen. Somebody said, does that make me not guilty? Oh, no, you're still as guilty as the Pope. But you're justified. because of one man's sin, sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death hath passed upon all men, and for that all have sinned. But because of the sin of Adam, we are justified as what we are. Sinners. But because of the grace of the Lord Jesus, I'm a justified saint. Hallelujah to God. Oh, yes, sir. Justified and so glad of it. Thank God. Then I got thinking about John's journey. Not only his jump and his joy, but I got thinking about his journey. The Bible said in verse 80, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the desert till the day of his appearing. He had only had 6 months of ministry. You know, when I first read that as a young Christian, I knew that John had to be a Baptist. As a young Christian, I knew it. Because back then I didn't, and I'm worse on words then than I was now. And I read that and I said, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts. And I thought, praise God, that's just like a Baptist preacher. You're going to find him around that banana pudding. Somebody say amen right there, buddy. Amen. But it wasn't the desserts he was around. It was the deserts he was in. Hey, I'm telling you, you told me. Somebody said, well, what about the life of a preacher? Here is a man that probably spent at least 30 plus years in the wilderness. At least 30 years, no doubt. John grew up in the wilderness. But I'm going to tell you, when he come out of that wilderness, he come out preaching, repent or perish, one of the two, turn or burn, one of the two. He found a place out there where the power of God can rest upon him. When he came filled with the Holy Ghost and the power of God and came for preaching repentance for the remission of sin. Now I'm telling you, that's still the same message today. You want to be saved today? Repent! Turn! That's right, ladies and gentlemen, it's turn. I'm telling you, we're living in a society, if they want to go to heaven, they're going to have to turn. I'm amazed at the churches that are doors are closed today. I got a call yesterday, man, member of an independent Baptist church, and they're closed today. That's sad! Somebody said, well, preacher, this is Christmas and we got to spend time with our families. I am spending time with my family. Amen. 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 In the house of God, I'm spending time with my family. Amen. Amen right there. Amen. Praise God, Daniel. When this, here it is, a day we set aside for Jesus' birthday and folk want to lay out of the house of God, God help them. Amen. God have mercy on them. I don't say, well, they don't have a love for Jesus. You can say amen or oh me. Now, that journey. He had 6 months of ministry. And in that 6 months of ministry, the Bible said up in verse 17 that it was to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I don't want to split no theological hairs. But I believe the church started with John the Baptist. That verse right there said he prepared a people. He prepared a people. He make ready a people prepared for the Lord. In other words, buddy, he had their hearts right. When they saw Jesus, when he said, behold the Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world, there wasn't a doubt in their mind who he was. John said, hey, there's the one whose mama spoke, and when I heard her voice, I jumped in my mama's womb over it. There's a boy jumping in his mama's womb before he's ever born, and we can't get Baptists today to jump, bless God, and they've been saved for years, and ain't got a thing to say about it, can't do it, ain't worshiping out of it either. God help us! John said, behold, the Lamb of God, I'll tell you what is in the world, and by the way, when I heard his mama's voice, I didn't even have to hear him. All I had heard was his mama. And I got excited about it.
Amen.
Now, I want you to listen carefully. The last point, the crib. There's the the conception, the cousin. But I want to say a few things about the crib. Amen. Joseph, seeing Mary great with child, the Bible said that he took his wife to the city of David, a place called Bethlehem. To be taxed because he was of the house and the lineage of David. He took and went to the house of David, to Bethlehem. And I'm sure when they got there, the streets were full of people. The inn was full. And they looked for a place to spend the night. And no doubt during that night, Mary went into labor. And I can imagine as she stood at the foot of the cross and looked up into that boy's face, she thought, I remember the night that I gave you life. And now I'm standing here watching you take death upon you and die. Oh, you're talking about pain and heartache. Knowing that that boy that she gave him life in Bethlehem, in a poor city, died for a poor people. And he that was rich, can you get a hold of this? He that was rich was made poor for our sake, that we might be made rich in God in him. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. That's right. He took his wife there to be taxed, and the Bible said, and so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him at the inn. No room for Jesus. And I'm going to tell you what, folks. It's an old preaching expression, but I'm telling you, there's not much room for Jesus today.
Amen.
The people, the converse in that city, the people that had gathered were so great that they crowded in so much that there was no room for him.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you what, the great crowds of people today have crowded him out. Don't mention his name in this classroom. You're putting religion and state together. Don't set out a nativity scene. You're putting religion and state together. And by the way, you're preferring one religion over another religion. I've got news for you. I'm not celebrating a religion this morning. I'm celebrating a person. That person's name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's who I'm celebrating this morning. Not a religion, but a person. Take down that cross. That's a symbol of a religion. No, that's not a symbol of religion. That cross is an instrument of death.
Amen.
And upon that cross, a man died. As his mama stood there and watched, as his hands were nailed to that cross and his feet to the cross, and his legs got weak and he began to slumber down, and his breath would depart, and he'd push up and breathe again with every sigh. Every time that he'd go down and push up, I'm sure that his mama would cry, is there nobody to help? Is there nobody to help? Now I'm going to tell you, she had to helplessly stand by and watch that boy die. That boy that she had raised for 30 years, she had to stand by and helplessly watch him die. And by the way, he didn't call on any help either. He said, I could have called 10,000 angels. I'm going to say that I didn't need an angel. As the old songwriter said, Jesus said, I can handle this job all by myself. Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
sir.
And he did. But the pain that Mary experienced as she watched him push up and then drop back down. And dropped back down. And I'm sure she stood there every time that he pushed up and breathed. Her mind thought, this may be the last breath. This may be the last time I see him alive. This may be the last moment. Oh, you talking about pain of heartache. I'm telling you, that woman's heart was broken. You'll never convince me otherwise. A mama's heart, a real mama's heart would have to be broken, especially as she looks back over all those years and all that she's been through, that birth, that manger, the raising of that child, watching him. Now, boy, stay with me right carefully. I won't be but just a few more minutes. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for the inn. There's no room for him today either. He was born in Bethlehem. The word Bethlehem means the land of bread. And he himself made the statement in John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. Now you hear me well. He was laid in a manger. Hey, I'm getting ahead of myself. Born in Bethlehem, the land of bread, and he himself being the bread of life. He became poor that we might be made rich. But being laid in a manger is a place where sheep are fed, revealing one of the many truths for the sheep of his pasture.
Amen.
Being born in that manger where sheep feed. He's telling all those that Brother Steve talked about this morning when he said, follow me! All that great multitude of disciples that followed him, when he was born in that manger, he was telling them, I am your bread. You don't live by this bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. That's the bread he's talking about. He was born in that manger and wrapped in swaddling clothes. Revealed a great truth that he was the sheep of the pasture. And then there were the shepherds. The shepherds. The Bible said in verse number 8 through 10 and 11, there was a trumpet sounded, an angel came down and announced to the shepherds watching their sheep by night. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to A-double-L all people. Thank God for us Gentiles.
Amen.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And I want to say again, I do believe that Mary knew him and his purpose, but I'm not sure that she even imagined the pain that that boy would have to endure to become the Savior of the souls of men. She gave him birth that he might give her birth.
Amen.
Can you get a hold of that?
Yes, sir. Amen.
The Creator that was from everlasting to everlasting was born from the womb of a virgin. She gave the Creator birth that the Creator might give her a new creation by giving her a new birth.
Amen.
Thank God, I'm glad I've had that new birth. Thank
Amen.
God, that's right.
Amen.
I'm glad I've been regenerated, born again the second
Amen.
Time. That's right. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus, wasn't it? He said, you must be born again. I don't care how much work you've done. I don't care how many baptisms you've been baptized. You can be baptized in every pool of water in Kentucky, nor ever a tadpole by a social security number, and that still ain't going to save you. I'll guarantee you can be baptized in Jesus' name, and that ain't going to save you. You've got to be born again. I'm not saying that people saved don't be baptized, but I'm just telling you that that baptism ain't going to save you. You've got to be born again. That's right. That's right. And then they're comprehending those shepherds. Now listen to this. Those shepherds, as they came in, they said, let us go to Bethlehem and see this great thing that is born. Let us go see this sight. When they got to Bethlehem, they comprehended something they never comprehended before. They looked in and they saw Jesus. And I believe the thought came to their mind, hey, we are shepherds of the sheep. But here is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. They said, we shepherd sheep, but he's going to shepherd men. Where would be a better place for a shepherd, for a shepherd to be born than in a manger with his sheep? Amen. That's right. That's right. Then the wise men came. They saw a star in the east and they followed it. When they came, they looked upon him and they bowed upon their knee and they gave him gold and frankincense and myrrh. But here's the point I want to make. They said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" I never knew this before in my life, but I know it now. There's never, been a man born in this world that was born a king. They've been born a prince into a royal family and later became a king, but none was ever born a king. But here is lies one in a manger that those wise men look and say, there is a King Christ. There lies the one that is King of the Jews, but there also lies the one that is King of Kings, hallelujah, and Lord of Lords. Amen. And then I want to mention Mary's heartache. The Bible said in verse 19 of that chapter, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." She kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. What about her heartache as she stood by the cross? There's no question in my mind but that she looked up at his hand. Both of those hands nailed to a cross. And blood dripping from his hands and running down and maybe running off his elbows as he hang there dying. And she looked at those hands with that nail through it, hanging there in pain and agony. And I can't help but to believe that her mind went back to that day when that little boy was born in a manger. And for the first time, she reached down her hand to that little boy. And a little hand reached out and grabbed a hold of her finger that way. She may have never thought, that little hand that was holding her finger, not only held her finger, but it held the whole world. He held up the whole world by the power of His own Word. The whole world is in the power of His hand. I wonder if she realized that the great Creator was taking hold of her finger. I can't help but to remember that picture that was out years ago of that doctor down at Vanderbilt University that baby had to have that surgery, and he cut that woman's stomach open in a C-section form, and a little hand come reaching up out of there and grabbed a hold of that doctor's finger, and they printed that picture and it went all around the world. I wonder what Mary thought when she saw that hand. She probably thought, "I've washed that little hand before. I've kissed that little hand with my lips. I've rubbed that little hand across my face and I've rubbed that little hand, and now it's nailed to the cross and it's bleeding and it's in pain and agony and hurt." And there's no doubt that that mama's heart was broken and grieved as she saw that hand that once was so small and tiny is now grown into a full-grown man and it's nailed to a cross. I'm sure that she probably looked at his lips and thought, "Those lips, once nursed from my breast." But rather than nursing from her breast, as she stands, they're not nursing from her breast now. Those lips cry, "I thirst!" And there stands a mama that once gave him milk to quench his thirst. And now that he's athirst on the cross, there's nothing she can do to quench that thirst. She is helpless, standing by and unable to help the boy she brought into the world. And there's no question there's hurt and heartache and pain, knowing that she once gave him water and gave him milk, and now he cries, "I thirst," and there's nothing she can do about it. Not one thing can Mary do about it. She looks at those lips as he says, "I thirst." And she wonders as they take a sponge of vinegar, myrrh, and stick it on his lips. He refuses to take it because there was no guile found in his mouth. And then she saw the baby that she once held in her arms and clutched tightly to her bosom and embraced. And by the way, he was without spot and without blemish. There were no blemishes on Jesus from his birth till his death. There couldn't be. He was a spotless Lamb of God, without spot and without blemish. And she saw that body that she once clutched and embraced in her arms. And she sees it now, severely scourged by Roman soldiers. And that little body that she used to hold and cradle in her arms and rock to sleep, his body is now riddled from a cat of nine tails, being beaten with forty stripes to be judged. And there's blood and there's entrails protruding from his body, and his bones are revealed but not broken. And she stands there in amazement and thinks, how can that little boy that I love so dearly, that I've held in my arms, that I've rocked to sleep at night, that I've bathed his body with soap and water, and it was without spot and without a blemish. There was not one blemish on him. And now his body is so mutilated by a cat of nine tails. And her heart once again was broken for that little boy.
Amen.
That she called her firstborn son. Stay right with me. I'm just about done. Then she looks at his face. No doubt Jesus had a smile on his face. It beamed brightly. That smile was, she looked upon it many times, and in her heart she said, that's my child, who is full of grace and beauty. Love and mercy is about him. And everywhere he stands on holy ground. And his face is so beautiful to look upon. But now, as she stands at that cross and looks up into that face, it's not that pretty little face of smooth-skinned baby boy that was once delicate and smooth. But she looks up into a face, and her heart, I'm sure she clutches her breast as she looks at his face and says, oh, my Lord. Because now she sees a face that is so marred. His visage is so marred that it's unrecognizable by man. Mary looked and said, is that really my boy? Is that the child that I held in my arms and rubbed his face when it was a little baby and a toddler, and his skin was so smooth, and now it's been beaten beyond recognition that I can't even tell that that's my boy? And again, the tears begin to swell up in her heart and come out her eye and roll down her cheeks. And her heart was broken. He who went about helping others can now find no help for himself. And he cries out as she stands there, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Mary said, he's the Son of the Highest. Gabriel told me so. He's going to sit on the throne of his father David. He's to his kingdom there'll be no end. He'll rule forever and ever. But yet he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
Yeah.
And again the tears roll from her eyes as she watches that boy. He who was always surrounded by a crowd now stands alone. And the crowd is gone. You know why the crowd's gone? No more bread for them. And then she sees something on his body. And you don't have to believe this. You don't want to. I'm just about done. She sees something on his body that she has never seen on it before in her entire life. 33 and a third years, and she's never seen this on his body. It's a five-letter word called blood. I don't believe he ever shed a drop of blood. God gave his angels charge concerning him. He did not even dash his foot against a stone.
Amen.
And she sees that blood. She knows what blood is. But she had never seen it on that boy. She thinks, oh my. And all it was looked like a piece of bloody meat hanging on the cross. She says, my boy that has never shed blood before has now shed blood. And I'm sure of this, as I am standing where I'm standing, that in his mind, Jesus looked down and said, Mama, don't worry! Don't be concerned about this blood now! Because the blood that you see now will soon be carried by me, myself, into heaven itself! And it'll be placed upon the mercy seat in heaven itself. And I'll shed my blood for the remission of the sins of fallen man.
Amen.
And this blood that you see is precious blood.
Amen.
It's beautiful blood. It's wonderful blood. It's sinless blood. It's pure blood. It's holy blood. It'll never, never, never.
Amen.
What's that word? Coagulate. Can I pronounce it for me?
Coagulate.
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 Yeah, she said it. In other words, it's not going to rot. Don't worry, Mama. Your heart is broken now. But you know, 3 days later, she went to that tomb. And an angel appeared to her. It may have been the same angel that told her about his birth. Somehow I kind of believe that it was. And she said, that angel said, he is not here. He is risen. As he said, don't look for him in the tomb, folks.
Amen.
He's not there.
Amen.
The Catholics want to put him in an upside down half of a bathtub. But he's not there in that tomb.
Amen.
He's risen. And the Catholics want to put him on a cross. He's not there. He's risen. No, he's at the right hand of God.
That's right.
That's right. Now, I wonder this morning, what's your heartache?
Amen.
You know, this may just seem like a little thing to you, but I'm going to use it. I hope nobody will get mad at me for using it. But Brooke's been staying with us at the house. You know, you get kind of used to these little... This is really what... Give me the thought for this. These little ones really have a way of getting to your heart. You know what I'm saying? And yesterday, your mom and daddy came by and picked her up. And I thought she had already left. She had hugged my neck. I thought she was gone. I stepped in the bathroom. When I came back out there, she stood in the kitchen with tears running down her face. She ran one more time and threw her arms around me and said, Papa, I love you. I said, Brookie, I love you too. And I said, be a good girl for Poppy. Live right for Poppy. And she left. I stood with tears running down my face. And I do what I always done. I walked up into the bedroom where she slept. I looked around. I thought, I've watched several of them. Andrew, Josh, Elizabeth. I've watched several of them. Jordan, sleep in that little room. My own children, all three of them, they don't know it. But when they've left, I've walked into their room at Christmas where they slept and stood there and wept many tears and asked God to give them mercy and help them along life's journey. You're talking about heartache. When you go back downstairs, and you sit down in a chair, and the cries of the little children are no more. The laughter is gone, and you sit there alone with your wife. Good company, but no children. My heart was broken so badly. That Miss Hall told me, she said, honey, I'm going to try to find me something to eat. I said, don't worry about it. I said, Brookie and I have got it. We bought you some. I took in some chicken noodle soup and some cheese and broccoli. She looked at the cheese and broccoli and said, yuck. He said, I'll take the chicken noodle soup. She ate that a lot when Brooke was there. And I thought, I'm going to pull a joke on her. And I called Brooke on the phone. I said, Brooklyn? She said, yes, Poppy. I said, where are you at? She said, I'm here at the house, Poppy. Why? I said, don't you realize that it's supper time? Your grandmother needs somebody to make her chicken noodle soup, and I don't know how to do it. She said, Poppy, all you do is pour half a can of it in a bowl, set it in a microwave, and turn it on for 45 seconds. Put a spoon in it and take it to her, and she'll know how to do the rest. And again, I wept with heartache. Are you listening to what I'm saying this morning? It don't take big things like that to break your heart. Little things. Children get married and they break your heart. It's broken with joy. Some go the wrong way of life and it breaks your heart. There's nothing you can do about it. Loved ones die. We grow old and we die. And there's nothing you can do about it. But it doesn't keep back the heartache and the heartbreak. There's some real pain. I told my wife when I sat down last night by her, I said, sweetheart, I said, there's some real heartaches in life. And with tears in her eyes, she said, I know. I know. I wonder this morning, do you really know? Have you lived long enough to really know that there's heartaches that'll tear you apart on the inside? And I'm going to tell you, there's only one thing that can ever cure it. And that's a stroke of the Master's hand. As grace sweeps across your soul and brings the comfort that you long for. And by the way, He's the God of all grace. The God of all comfort. He's able to comfort everyone who's in trouble and needs it. And I'm sure that when Mary walked away from that grave, something must have swept over her soul and down on the inside of her heart. Something said, it's all right. It'll be all right. And it was. And I'm going to tell you, if we love Jesus, if we really love Him, if we really love Him, don't ask me how, but somehow in the end, we're going to find out that it'll be all right.
Amen.
It will be all right. For all of us. Our God will see to that. He's such a wonderful Lord. I wonder how anybody here today that's not saved could refuse Him. Who by the radio is lost could reject Him. I want to encourage you today as we sing a hymn song of invitation. As we stand together and the piano player comes, Brother George comes.